registered dietitian and exercise physiologist, Samantha Heller.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Samantha Heller's Health and Nutrition Show right here on Dr. Radio, Sirius XM 110. We are in the heart of the NYU Langone Medical Center in New York City. How are you? I hope you've had a really good week this week. I hope any troubles, any sadness, any despair that has been dogging your heels is lightened up a little bit. It helps to take a deep breath. It helps to drink some water. It helps to move your fanny. I know sometimes when you're feeling blue, moving is the last thing you want to do, but it's the one thing that can change your mood almost instantly. So it's always a good idea to get some exercise, even if it's just taking a walk or strolling. And different parts of the country right now, spring is happening. It is in full bloom right now. The flowers are gorgeous. Remember that all kinds of creatures are out and about and being born and testing their little legs and little wings. So please drive carefully because they don't know nothing about cars. And of course, we have to take care of ourselves. And spring is such a great time to launch into new healthy behaviors. And that's what we'll be talking about today here on Dr. Radio. I'm here in studio with the phenomenal producer, Jessica Bari, and my sound engineer, board up, Andrew Marcello. He is an artistic, creative, musical, animator, you know, reader, movie. Like, he knows so much. You're just so smart and so much fun. Anyway, and so is Jessica, well-read, fun to talk to. I'm so lucky I get to work with these people. Also, still in the house from earlier today, Dr. Jonathan Whiteson and Melanie Cron, two of our favorite Dr. Radio Keeps colleagues and friends, just having a visit here in our Dr. Radio studio, which is in the heart of the NYU Langone Medical Center. Across town, we have Maurice Tunick. He's our program director. And here at the NYU Langone Medical Center, our medical director is Dr. Mark Siegel. So you have tuned in to the best place in the galaxy for your health, wellness, medical, nutrition, psychological, medical insurance information here at Dr. Radio. We have fantastic hosts. I feel so fortunate to be among them. And great producers, great staff at Sirius XM and here at the NYU Langone Medical Center, and fun guests. And we have really fun guests today. Some of them are new. Some of them are returning to my show. And all of them are fabulous. We're going to be talking about, is your house killing you? And if so, what we can do to keep our home healthy. I have my favorite healthy home expert joining me in just a few seconds. We'll also be talking about a new study looking at Hispanic kids and high blood pressure. And we'll also be addressing Asian, African American, and white kids. You know, you don't think of high blood pressure in kids. So we have to figure this out. And we have the lead study author of that new study joining us to help us figure that out. We'll also be talking later in the show about some breastfeeding myths. Should you be breastfeeding? What is the best way to breastfeed? Are there foods you should or shouldn't be eating? So we have an expert joining us there. And then later on, we have open phones. And of course, really, to be honest and don't tell anybody, my phones are always open. I always want to talk to you. So let me give you our phone number right now, 877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. Okay, it's the weekend. You know, we always talk about the weekend and how happy we are about it, but some of us work on the weekends, and that's okay because it's still kind of just a different vibe. I don't know. Wherever you are and whatever you do, you deserve to be healthy and to feel good and to be happy. And we have to do that for ourselves and for those around us who cannot do it for themselves. And that's okay. We get to do that. We have that ability. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. One simple way to improve your daily life is to improve your environment. And helping us to figure out spring cleaning and healthy homes and keep our homes from killing us is my favorite healthy home expert, Caroline Blazovsky. Hey, Caroline.
Hello. Good to talk to you.
I'm so glad you're here. Folks, you know Caroline as America's healthy home expert. She's a certified mold remediator, indoor air quality expert, and she has a background in sustainable design. And you can check out her at Twitter at My Healthy Home and her website. And we're going to be talking about just ways to keep our homes healthy. And Caroline, is spring, do we have to worry about different things than we did going into winter?
We do.
Oh, dear. Of course we do.
But I think spring is a good starting jumping off point for if you really are going to get your home healthy and you're starting to think, what can I do? Spring just motivates you, right? So you've got that jump in your step and you're ready to do stuff. So I think it's a great time of year to start working on your house.
So I love spring. I get so excited because I know I can look forward to just all fun things for many months and not have that sort of fear of freezing myself to death.
Exactly.
And the flowers are coming out, and I have this big, beautiful ash tree that hangs over my little tiny backyard, and it drops just a ton of leaf debris, spring debris, and I don't know whether it's that particular ash tree or other trees, but every once in a while in the spring I'll go home and everything outside is coated with like this day glow green, I guess it's pollen. And then of course I have my windows open, so then it's in your house. Now is this something that we need to worry about?
Well, you definitely want to, you know, now we're in the Northeast, so you basically want to keep your house closed up for about the next couple of weeks when you start to see that pollen. If your car's covered in it.
Right. I could write notes on my car.
So if you're seeing all of that stuff, you really don't want to open your windows because it's just going to permeate the house. And that's going to help, obviously, keep your allergies down. And it's not for a long period of time, but you want to ventilate and open your windows when the weather outside is amenable to that. So if you have really high relative humidity, it's very damp outside, that's not a great time to open your windows. Same thing with pollen. If you see all the cover, you don't want to open your windows at that time either.
Well, if you don't have allergies, which I don't think I do, is it then okay except for having to like clean all the time?
I mean, you're still bringing in things that promote inflammation in the body. And,
okay.
And you've known me long enough now, my concept about health is that 90% of what we do is in our control, right? So whether it's your nutrition intake, whether you smoke, whether you live in an environment that has mold or dander or allergens, all these things promote health or can discourage health. So when it comes to inflammation, these things, even though they may not be affecting you from a stuffy nose or runny eye perspective, they have the ability to promote inflammation. Some things carry proteins with them. So my idea is to keep that inflammation down. So I would advise not during this time of year opening your windows. I think it's better to keep it. Even though you may not have a seasonal allergy, it's just more particulate and things the body has to clear.
Oh, I love having my windows open.
Only a couple
warm.
Weeks. Only when you see the really bad, you know, green coverage that's going to be getting in your vacuum and all over the house. And you may not be allergic, right? But maybe your pets could be sensitive, your children, other people that come in. So try to keep it out as much as you can.
Yeah, I've actually had times where I've, you know, done a whole cleaning of my house and, you know, the Q-tips in the windowsills and just spring cleaning and kept my windows open. And, like, you come home the next day and everything has this fine layer of yellow-green dust all over it. You're like, oh, man. So I get your point, and I think that's really interesting. I think a lot of people think if I don't have allergies, I don't have to worry about it. And yet you're saying we do. So that's a really good point. And it's just for a few weeks in the spring. So windows closed, maybe an indoor fan on. Your heat is probably turned down a little bit right now. You probably don't need the AC. What are other things we have to look at for the spring?
Well, the spring is, again, we're going back to these things like relative humidity, right? And that's, I talk a lot about this because if you really control your moisture, so when you start to feel sticky, you have high relative humidity, these things breed all kinds of things like mold, dust mites love it, and bugs feed on this moisture. So you'll start to see a lot of these. So when you open your windows, if you open it on a humid day, then you're going to let this relative humidity in. And unfortunately, other creatures and things that can promote you know, problems in the body or cause allergies or, you know, just cause inflammation, thrive on this moisture. So for me, I really like to see you open your windows on days when it's really dry and kind of cool and comfortable. And, you know, it can be warm, but just not that stuffy relative humidity. You don't want that in the house. So if you can avoid it, that'd be fantastic. At those times, you want to turn the air conditioning on and not have that moisture coming in.
I'm probably one of the only people I know who really likes humid weather. I know, it's crazy. I like hot, humid weather, and my hair is, I've got curly hair, and it gets huge. And I'm like, I don't even mind that at all. It's just like, that's okay. I can tell. I should, like, just have my own weather station, because I can tell you what the humidity is, relative humidity, just by how big my hair is.
See, that's fantastic. You don't need a hygrometer to measure anything.
I don't. But I tend to like the humidity. And most people I know, for example, my mom, when she was on the planet, and other people, it can make them actually feel quite ill. So I see your point. Just keep an eye on the humidity and what's going on inside and outside your house. And I think sometimes we don't pay a lot of attention to that.
And I think the key, too, is you can go to any local hardware store, and I encourage all of my clients to do this, And just, you don't spend a lot of money, like $10, and you get a little hygrometer that has relative humidity and temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Just stick that in your house, usually on your bottom level, right next to the basement. The foundation is where I ideally like it, because that's going to be your worst case scenario, but anywhere in the house, and monitor. And if you're between 30 and 50%, you're good to go. When you start to creep up, if you get 60, 65, you know you either have to shut your windows, put on the air conditioning, try to drop that relative humidity. It's just a simple thing, and you can avoid mold, you can avoid bugs, you can avoid dust mites, all the things that we talk about to having a healthy home. And it's just a simple little tool.
And when you have kids or even adults who are suffering not only from seasonal allergies but from sort of year-long asthma, mm-hmm. this is a great way to help keep that in check and maybe keep down some of those flare-ups, do you think?
Exactly. And we just saw a study come out. It was brought in front of me, coming out of Winnipeg, Canada, and they really looked at children who had persistent colds and asthma,
mm-hmm.
and then they looked at their home environments, found a correlation that these children were exposed to mold in the home, and then they also missed more days of school. And that's concerning to me, because people say, well, you know, I have a little mold, I don't need to do anything about it, but these things really are being more and more correlated to persistent asthma, chronic colds that stay around a long time. You know, if you have a cold that lasts 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you get sinus infections, you really need to start looking at your house to see if you have a mold problem, because then it affects the children going to school and it becomes a whole cyclical pattern. So
I think that's a really good point, because people are like, oh, I'm just getting sick more because it's the winter and it's cold, or I'm mm-hmm. just getting sick more because I'm tired. And it could be our homes that are making us sick.
Well, definitely. I mean, there's been more and more correlation between obviously asthma and persistent colds. But then also you have to remember, too, in the winter, you've got lower relative humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Too low dries out your sinus passages. You mm-hmm. get more colds. So typically we'll get more colds and viruses because of the low relative humidity. But if they start to stay around and you're getting things frequently, then you really need to look and say, uh-oh, you know, I think I may have a mold problem, or I see something, and you need to have it examined so that you can just rectify it and not have these problems.
For people who live in apartment buildings, of course, and I'm thinking about New York City,
mm-hmm.
And they want to have someone come and just check the mold situation for their apartment.
Correct.
Because maybe they don't see any, or maybe I actually was in someone's apartment recently and I saw a little bit on the inside sort of rubber gasket in a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, huh. That's probably needs to be cleaned. And if they don't actually see it in the pipes under the sink or something, how are there other ways to detect if there's mold around?
Yeah, and there's an excellent test that you can do yourself, okay? And
mm-hmm.
it's basically the same test that we would do if we went out as a professional. It's just made into a do-it-yourself kit. We use it with physicians' offices often, I mean all the time. And it's called the Examinair. It's examinair.net. And this is a test where you can do three samples inside. They're air samples.
Mm-hmm.
Send them to a lab. You take an outside sample as your baseline, and off it goes. And then within 2 days, you have the results. And you'll know if you have a substantial problem, if you have things starting to go bad. It's a really great baseline test for a lot of people who, you know, just say, I don't know if I have mold. Maybe I do. And then you want to check places, like you said, in the dishwasher. Washing machines are notoriously a mm-hmm. problem now, the way they're designed, and a lot of plastic components, rubber components, molds like to grow on the inner tub of the inside of the washing if you have a top loader, or on the outer rim of a front loader. So these are things you just want to kind of stay vigilant about cleaning, because there's really no other way to avoid it other than just constant maintenance and cleaning cleaning inside those little nooks and grooves and things
mm-hmm.
that can get the info, you know, get the debris stuff.
Yeah, that's such a, so I remember you mentioning this last time, examinair.net. Now, I'm sure I asked this last time and I don't remember the answer. It's a little expensive, is that right?
Yeah, it's about $400.
Okay.
But the thing is, when you're talking about having an inspector come out, it saves you quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, anytime we come into an environment, it's always more. You can do it yourself. It's a professional test. We use it with physicians across the country.
Mm-hmm.
They use it with their patients. So
it's worth it.
Really good test. If you're really concerned, and you should be doing it about every 3 to 5 years. That's my recommendation. I just did my house 2 months ago, and I could see that certain areas in my home, my basement, are starting to creep up. And it doesn't mean, oh my gosh, I got to do something immediately. Depends on your level. But, you know, it just gives you an indication what's going on, and you can put it in your budget that you want it, or you have to do a project coming up within the next year or so or two.
So it'll tell you. Will it tell you what kind of mold is there, or just mm-hmm. that? Okay, and then if you know, are there kinds of mold that are more popular than others that
yes.
we see in homes?
Yes, there are. And certain molds, what we call water damage indicators, like toxic molds you hear about, yeah. it will also tell you if you have those as well, which is very important, especially if you know you have children or you have people living in the home that have immune compromised yeah. or just people who are very sensitive to it. I mean, these toxic molds, we're finding they do more and more with these mycotoxins that they produce, and it's really, really detrimental to your health. So you really want to know if you have them. So to me, my recommendation is every 3 to 5 years, do a mold test to see where you're at. And especially if you have newer construction, if your building envelopes are very tight, a lot of the newer construction have increased these levels because the houses don't breathe well.
Mm.
So, you know, one time a year, you need to be doing something for your house. We know that it plays a huge part in how healthy you are as an individual. We know that it really makes a difference now. So just one test a year. You go to the doctor and you spend a lot of money to get blood work done. You might as well just do one test a year in your home.
So let's say I do an examinair.net mold assessment in my house or an apartment, and it says, yes, you have XYZ mold.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go to your website and find out what I'm supposed to do if I have XYZ mold?
Yeah, I mean, what you have the option when you do your test kit to do a consultation with us,
okay.
so you can always get all the information that you need. But the reports are pretty self-explanatory, so mm-hmm. they'll say, look, you have a little, you have a lot, you have a medium amount, and then if you want to go more in depth, you can obviously do a consult. But either way, it's going to give you information to provide you with what you need to know if you do have a problem or something substantial going on.
I love that idea. And folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with America's favorite healthy home expert, Caroline Blazovsky. She is known as America's healthy home expert, as I just said, and her website, is it myhealthyhome.com?
They can go to myhealthyhome.info or healthyhomeexpert.com.
Okay, healthyhomeexpert.com. You can know she knows what she's talking about, and she has great information, and you can follow her on Twitter. That's at myhealthyhome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
I wanted to get all the healthy home pieces in there for you, because I love that you have such great expertise that crosses such a wide area of information. Folks, if you have questions about mold in your home, about toxins, about allergies, about how to keep your home healthy, give us a call. My phone lines are open, 1-877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. You can email us at docs@siriusxm.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at NYU-DOCS or me at Samantha Heller. I think that's who I am. And so windows closed, when the pollen's out, watch the relative humidity. How can we prepare our home to go into this time where we will be outside more, the windows open more? Do we clean it with a special way? I did get the hydrogen peroxide cleaner for my bathroom instead of using bleach.
Yay.
Per your recommendation.
Fantastic.
What other things can we do?
Well, I mean, really right now, just the pollen's out, so keep the windows closed just for temporary, mm-hmm. you know, while it's really, when you see all the green stuff outside, close up the windows. Really important, get your air conditioning serviced.
Ah, good point.
We, heating you can get away with servicing maybe every other year, but not air conditioning. And the reason is you have coils, you have condensation, you have water lines, things that are associated with air conditioning, especially air conditioning units that are in attics. People forget about them, and then you can get a serious leak if the drip pans fill up.
Mm.
So as these units condensate, water goes into a drip pan, and then it goes out through a tube, and they clog up. They get calcium deposits. So really important, all air conditioning units need to be serviced going into the spring. You want to wait until you can actually turn the central air on, and then you want to have someone come out and do your cleaning, check your pans, change your filters, everything that needs to be done. A duct cleaning isn't a bad idea. If you haven't had duct cleaning done, I usually say 5 years.
Oops.
But if you have a lot of pets or you have a lot of debris or people in the house, you may need it more frequently. I'm having mine done Monday. So get your ducts cleaned out, get all the debris and dust and things that settle in there, you know, get that all cleaned is a good time of year to do it.
The little duckies. yes. I clearly need to do that. I've actually, okay, again, Caroline, don't tell anybody, but I've never had my ducts cleaned. I know, and I've been in my house now about 10 years.
I'm going to come there with my crew.
Would you? I'd be so happy, please. But it is something that we need to do. And you know, sometimes, you know, I'm always thinking, how much does this cost? How much money do we have? Da-da-da. And really, when you look at the cost of getting your ducts cleaned, checking the $400 to get the mold, you know, assessed in your home, the long-term cost is so much less because if you're looking at your health, I mean, look how much money people spend going out to dinner or to the movies or buying beer or wine or, you know, watching, you know, pay-per-view or something. Literally, the cost is really not exorbitant when you look at the benefits you get.
And you have to keep up with these things. Look, houses are not maintenance-free. And if you don't, you can really seriously create problems in a home and that cause serious health issues. And I don't take this lightly. I mean, I've been a public educator for 17 years, and mm-hmm. I really believe that our environments are key to how we feel. I mean, I can show you studies and show you homes I've been in where, you know, you've got a trifecta of things going wrong. You've got people who are unhealthy. You've got a home that's healthy, and they've been monitoring things, and the people feel well. So there's this direct correlation. One time a year is what I ask, is do one thing for your house. Check one thing out to make sure. And then after about 5 years, you're caught up. It's just a necessary thing that needs to be done if you want to remain healthy. And these duct cleaning really needs to be done. I just, on social media, we had a picture of some ducts we had a client who was, you know, had health issues, and the ducts were disgusting. I mean, absolutely disgusting. And we posted the picture, and we got so much response. This is what's in your ductwork. This is what you're breathing in. You really need to have these clean. You know, it's once every 5 years. It's not every year or every, you know, season.
So you say do one thing for your house a year. And callers, I'm going to get to you in 1 second. So this year I might, contact you and get the Examinair kit and assess the mold and then do something about it if it's there. Mm-hmm. And then next year maybe I would get my ducts cleaned.
Yeah.
And then the following year, what might I do?
Usually volatile organics. Mm-hmm. And volatiles don't really have to be done more than every 10 years unless you change something, right? So if you start bringing more personal care products in, mm-hmm. you do remodeling and adding things. So that tells you all the chemicals in your home, everything you're exposed to, your formaldehydes. It's just a really great place, and then you can adjust it. And once you get to a certain level, you don't really have to repeat that unless you change something. So chemicals are the next thing I look at. Water testing is important. So the next year you do your water test, make sure you're not exposed to anything there. And then, some people do protein testing, which is important if you have kids that have allergies, peanut allergies, cat, dog. But other than that, I mean, those are your five major things that you can really do to just kind of stay on top of what's going on.
I love that. I love this information. It's so much fun because it's not my big area of expertise, but I certainly see the results of people living in unhealthy homes. And as I've said, mentioned to many of my patients, I send a lot of them to your website and to you. I don't know if they've followed up on that, but I have, because I've had patients who say, no one can figure out what's wrong with me. The tests are coming back normal, but I feel horrible. I'm having this and this issue. And I said, it could be your environment. It could be your home.
And that's when it usually is. I mean, that's what we find. And most of the people, you know, come to us, and then we say, uh-oh, you've got this and this, and we clean it up, and they feel better. Mm-hmm. And the two things, the most important, I mean, nutrition, environment, and then, you know, your genetics, these mm-hmm. are really, public health tells us, 90% of this is what's going to make you healthy as an individual, and you're in control of it more than you realize. And I think that's powerful, very powerful.
It is very powerful, and thank goodness we have people like you to help us figure out what we need to do. Folks, you're listening to us on Sirius XM 110 Doctor Radio. We are in the heart of the NYU Langone Medical Center in New York City. We're taking your calls and questions, 1-877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. We have Becky from Ohio on the line to speak with us. Hey, Becky, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
What's your question?
Yeah, my question is, everything you've mentioned, I have going on. I have a log house that I've lived in for 20 years. It's in the woods. One side of the property is marshy wetlands, and then there's woods on three sides of the house. It's part of its farm. I have well water. I have a dog and three cats. I have mold. I don't know what kind it is, but I can see it on the logs. it looks kind of white, like whitish greenish. But I'm, the logs are whole logs. They're not like the log houses that are, you know, smooth on the inside. I mean, it's all the way through, so they're curved. So they're hard. They're hard to clean. Now I bought some stuff, to, you know, that's supposed to kill them and clean them and this and that. But I mean, this is like not just like a cabinet. It's a 3-4 house, basement, everything. And I'm just overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And I mentioned it to my doctor that, you know, I have a lot of health issues right now. Not breathing, but coughing a lot, thyroid issues, fibromyalgia. I'm tired all the time, no energy.
You know, Becky, it does. The fact that you're seeing your doctor and they're looking at that aspect of your health and ruling out what it could or could not be is really important. But Caroline, I bet you have some suggestions for Becky.
Yeah, and I think that this is what we're talking about, right? When you start to see patients that have what I call a trifecta, right? You've got more than one environmental thing going on. That's when we start to see unhealthy patients. It's a guarantee. So what strikes me and what I can quickly tell you is that dampness all around the lot, that's what's promoting that mold growth. Because when you live in a swampy area, your house doesn't get a lot of sunlight. These are just lovely cocktails for mold to grow. They love that environment. They like the dark dampness. So if it were me, I think, and I had this house, right, and the first thing I would do is try to clear that lot of the trees that are, you know, directly impacting the house, get that house some more sunlight. Really important. It sounds like a, you know, a stupid thing, but it's not. That ground needs to dry out. You got to get those sources, cut those mold sources off so that they can't survive. That's what's going to help save your house, one, from the destruction of the mold, but two, from a health perspective. Get more sunlight to the house, get the trees around the house removed, any brush debris, and then also start controlling your relative humidity. You need a dehumidifier in that basement or the lower level of the house, maybe two, to try to reduce relative humidity, get the mold, stop, cut off their food source. They're like people. They need food, air, and water. Cut it off.
I have two that I run in the basement. I keep the house open when I can. They did blood testing on me for allergies. You know, they didn't do the pinpricks. They did it actually blood. And I had them test me because I was reading something on the internet. I had them test me specifically a separate test for black mold.
Right.
And it came back negative. So it might be a different kind. Now, I used to have plenty of sun back there, and then like 19 years ago, I planted ornamental pear trees, and they've grown and noticed like the last year and a half they've gotten so bad.
Yeah, that's a lot of the problem. I mean, I'm being serious. Like, you really need to get more sunlight on the house because unfortunately that's staying damp, which is all raising these molds. The blood tests for mold can be accurate. They cannot be accurate. I've seen it go both ways. So I'm not, you know, I don't rely on that. Like when I'm testing for mold, obviously what's going to tell you what you have specifically are air tests and swab tests and things like that. So maybe you should have a mold inspector come out and just get air samples done. It's not that expensive. You can do the test yourself. You could do the examiner, any of these things to give you more information.
But and also, Becky, you can have your trees trimmed. You know,
yes.
If you love your trees, you don't want to cut them down, you can have them trimmed back away from the house. Anyway, Becky, good luck. Thank you for calling and giving us that example of issues that I think a lot of people face. We have lots of people that want to talk to you, and I know our time is almost up, so let's see if we can't get another call in for you, Caroline. We have Dina from New Jersey. How are you? Dina, you are on the air.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
I can. What's your question, dear?
Great. Very useful program, but I have a very quick question. So I've noticed a lot of mold, you know, in my washing machine because I've been neglectful in keeping it, you know, clean.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So what do I do? Do I have to, at this point, get another one or replace the machine?
Do you have a front loader or do you have a top loader?
Top loader.
Okay. Real quick explanation. Top loaders now, they used to have two metal bins inside of each other. That's where your laundry would wash inside, and then there's another bucket. They've gone to plastic now, which doesn't breathe well. There's a tendency to build up debris inside of the washer. So not in the bin you can see when you look down, but in a bin that's inside of that bin. So if it's really gotten bad, I think probably you might want to look at getting another one, but try one of the enzyme cleaners in the system first and see if you can get any of that out. And try to use, you know, around the top part, use some vinegar and water, hydrogen peroxide mix will help too. So try to clean it first. Try using one of the enzyme cleaners. If that doesn't work, then you may really want to try to look investing in another one.
All right, Dina, good luck. Thanks for calling and asking that good question. I always leave the top open for it to dry out.
And you know what they have now? They have these little fans that you can actually connect onto the top that help circulate air. They're, you know, $40, I think, on the internet. And they're little fans. You put them in, and then it helps move the air and keep them drier, which is great too.
Well, you know, we could talk to you forever, Caroline, but we have to let you get back to your busy day because we all want you and need you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Have a great weekend.
You too. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, stick with us. We have to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about hypertension in kids. That's